بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, everyone is doing well. The fast is going well, and it's not too hard on everybody. These days are long summer days. I welcome all of you to another session on the Ahkam of Fasting through Mizan Live. Thank you everybody for tuning in. It's been about maybe 5 or 6 days that we've been having the program. Alhamdulillah, it's been received very well. And I'm loving your questions, either, you know, when I'm doing the session or Sheikh Mehdi's doing the question. Alhamdulillah, the questions are very nice, and I like your involvement, and I thank you for all of that. Wa alaikum assalam, sister. So, I'm going to just go over a few points before we start. Number one, this live feed, once again, as we say every day, is for everybody, anyone who can benefit. So if you feel that anyone can benefit from it, then please share it, like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I also want to thank the brothers and sisters who, you know who you are, you've been sending in notes. Just the other night, or last night, I got a PDF from one of the brothers who had summarized one of our sessions, because their whole family are physicians and doctors, mashallah. And they said that it's beneficial for us as a family, as an extended family. And so I wrote them all down, all the stuff you guys discussed in your session about, you know, ill people, sick people, and the conditions that have to be met for someone who is sick to be able to fast. And so we're all benefiting from that, alhamdulillah. It really makes me happy to see that brothers and sisters out there actually take it very serious. These rulings, I don't think they're covered usually, and you know, in this depth or in this comprehensiveness. Alhamdulillah, we've been given the opportunity to cover these ahkam, and we're trying our best, inshallah, to cover as much as we can and as accurately as possible, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq. Having said all of that, let's jump right in, inshallah. I want to go over a few of the rulings that have been covered in the past. Just a little bit more elaboration on them and explain what's going on. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Reza. Explain what's going on, and some of them, some were, you know, I had said I'm going to wait till I do some more research on them and get back to you, so now's the time for that as well. And a few questions that need more explanation. So number one, yesterday I think Brother Ali Rizvi asked this question, and I don't even know if he's online or not, but he asked about force feeding, I think. He asked this from Sheikh. He posed this question to Sheikh Mehdi yesterday about if someone's forced to eat, and the answer that was given was right. That if you are forced to eat, then you still have to make that day up. Although this like never really happens, where someone is gonna like put a gun to your head and be like, "Hey, I want you to break your fast," and if you don't, like, you'll lose your life. You know, that person will probably be like, "Oh, by all means, you know, let me break my fast." But at the end of the day, they're forced. This doesn't happen usually, you know. Or if someone says, you know, you have to break your fast or else this will happen to you, that will happen to you. Whatever the reason is, if they're forced to break their fast. The question was, what is the ruling on that? And the answer that was given was right. Sheikh Mehdi gave the answer that it still breaks your fast, because you're doing it yourself. You're eating the food yourself. Or, you know, doing that invalidator, whatever it is, yourself. But there's just one addition I want to add here, and that is, if someone isn't forced to break their fast on their own, but rather they are force-fed. If they are force-fed, that's a different story. If you're force-fed, then it doesn't break your fast. Okay, that's cool. Let me just read off of the book real quick. Urwatul Wuthqa, with the Hawashi, or the notes of Ayatollah Sistani, says that if a person is forced, and they've forced to break their fast, and they break their fast on their own because they were forced to, on their own meaning they're the ones who put the food in their mouth, for example, they're the one who drink the water. فَأَفْطَرَ مُبَاشَرَةً, they do that on their own, they're the ones who do it directly themselves, they're the ones who eat the food or drink the water or whatever it is. فِرَارًا عَنِ الضَّرَرِ الْمُتَرَتِّبِ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ, and they're doing that to get away from any ill that will befall them. Any problems that are going to befall them, then they have to make that day up. بَطُلَ صَوْمُهُ, they have to make that day up, and their saum is batil. That's what Sheikh Mehdi covered yesterday. Their addition part is, now either this is ihtiyat wajib or fatwa by Ayatollah Sistani, But this part is the addition, okay? This part is the addition. Wa alaykum as-salam, Sayyid Hadi Rizvi. This is the addition. He says, Na'am, law wujira fi halqihi, excuse me, min ghayr mubashara minhu lam yabtul. That if someone force feeds you though, like they put a tube down your throat or something and they put food in it, then your fast is not void. Your fast is valid. So these are two different scenarios with two different rulings. As I said, once again, sometimes when we cover ahkam, you know, our imagination works very strongly and we ask these questions. I don't know if it's going to come up or not, but nonetheless, it's a question to be asked. So I thank you for asking that question. By the way, if you have any questions, please ask them. Don't be shy to ask, or don't think that it's not a good question. Maybe no. Any question that you have, please ask it, and we'll try to cover those and answer those as much as possible. All right, that's the first one. Second one. This one was of the utmost importance for me. Number two that I want to cover. I had promised that I'll look into it last session. The whole story of the pregnant woman or the nursing mother breaking their fast or not having to fast if they fear for themselves or they fear for their baby or their fetus. I said I'll look into it. The question was this, that when we say that it's okay for a pregnant woman or a nursing mother to break their fast in the month of Ramadan, does that mean, if they have a fear, does that mean that they don't have to fast from the get-go? Or no, they have to wait until it reaches a point where they don't have to fast anymore, and then they can break it? If you remember that question, that was a question by Brother Ali Abadi, actually. The answer to that, I asked some of the people that I know in the offices of the Maraji right now in Qom or other places, and who are in the Istifta'at offices, the Q&A section of the offices. The answer that I got, and of course this has been my understanding all along for many years as well, is that no, they don't have to fast from the get-go. It's not like they have to wait. Unlike like the construction worker that I gave an example of before, unlike other examples that we covered, they don't have to wait till it reaches a point where they fear for themselves or for their child to be able to break their fast. From the get-go, they can just not fast. That's what answer I got. And as I said, this also reads with my understanding. And the wording that's been used, I went, brothers and sisters, I went all out trying to figure this out. Even to those of you who know these books, the Sharh of Urwatul Wuthqa, of Sayyid al-Khu'i, Mustamsakul Urwa, all of these things, to find an explanation, they've all taken it as a given, as if it's very clear what is to be done, but they don't really explain it. But as I said, my understanding, I'm pretty confident that you don't have to hold on to your fast if you're a nursing mother or a pregnant woman who fears for their child or for themselves. You don't have to hold on to the fast until that fear actually comes. If you fear throughout the day that that's going to happen, my understanding, brothers and sisters, from the texts, is that it's okay to go ahead and just not fast that day. But as I said before, a fidya will become wajib. That will be covered by, inshallah, Sheikh Mahdi in the future, what that fidya is all about. All right. The next thing on my list here is, something was also asked yesterday about, if we're not fasting, then for whatever reason we're not fasting. Let's say someone's not fasting because they're traveling. A sister is not fasting because Salat is not wajib in her right now. She's in her monthly period, for example. Can they eat in front of others or not? This was a question. Sheikh Mahdi went over it yesterday in general. I want to add to it a little bit. I'm going to read off of some istifta'at here. You see, brothers and sisters, what we have is, sometimes you are in an Islamic country, and out in the street and in the city and all that kind of stuff, you have an Islamic atmosphere, an atmosphere of Ramadan and an atmosphere of fasting, and that, you don't want that to be broken. Islam doesn't want that to be broken. Islam doesn't want that to be, there's a certain respect you find in the sources for the month of Ramadan that has to be upheld. That's one scenario. You're living in an Islamic country that is observing the fast. Sometimes, no, you're living somewhere like in America or in the UK, wherever. Shout out to my UK people. And there, if you're fasting, not fasting, doesn't matter if you're eating, you're not eating. Everyone else is eating on the streets anyway. These are two different scenarios. All right, so now what happens here? I'm going to read off of a few istifta'at for you. What Sheikh Mahdi said, if you paid attention yesterday, he said if you're in a community of Muslims, right? Don't, like, it's better, it's, I don't know if he said it's either better or you shouldn't eat in front of other Muslims in a community, in the community, in that society that you're in. But I want to add to that now, just reading off of these istifta'at. Ayatollah, what I have here, Ayatollah Sistani, in this istifta'at that I have here in front of me, someone has asked, what is the rule of eating in front of others when it's not wajib on you to fast for whatever reason? For example, you're traveling or whatever I said before. Until this is Tanya, this is Tifta, it says, if it is a hatk to the month of Ramadan, disrespectful to the month of Ramadan, then you shouldn't. So now, for example, if I'm sitting at home and I'm not fasting because of whatever reason, whatever valid reason, but my family is fasting, it's okay that if they see me if I'm eating based on this, because it's not disrespectful to the month of Ramadan. This disrespectfulness usually happens when you're outside in society and you're walking around, you know, biting into that halal KFC drumstick in front of everybody. Baba, there's a respect in that society for this. You can't just break it like that. But if you're at home or any other place, for example, you're traveling and you're in the airport right now. Oh no, I'm not going to eat anything because it's Ramadan time. Although I can because I'm not fasting. No. There, everyone's already eating. So you just eating on the side too is not going to cause a problem. You don't have to like go in some corner or anything. That's my understanding based on these istiftaat. Ayatollah Khamenei, in the case of it being considered, not considered ruzekhari, the word is used, breaking the fast for no reason. Yeah, that word is used in English and Farsi to signify, just breaking the fast for no reason. If it's seen as that, then it's haram, he says. What does that mean? That means, once again, if you're like in the airport or if you're out on the streets in the West and you want to have something, it's okay if you're doing it in the open. It's not seen as disrespect to the month of Ramadan that everyone is observing and so on and so forth. We have other ulama saying that have Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani, Allah Yahfadhu, Ayatollah Shubayr Zanjani, they've all given the same, they've given similar istifta'at, answers to this inquiry. Like Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani, he says, don't do this in the public, out in the open. I think they're talking about, once again, an Islamic country, not a place where everyone's breaking their fast, no one's fasting anyway because they're not even Muslim. Alright, so that's that. I think we have some questions that I need to address before we move on. Yes. Sister Kiran says, if a woman has qada fast from her years of pregnancy and or nursing that she for any reason wasn't able to make up, and now due to health issues she can't make them up anymore, what's the ruling for that? Great question. If she can't make them up anymore, she can't make them up anymore. She's off the hook. She will have to pay the fidya, but that's for the years when she actually broke it due to nursing and pregnancy. But if someone reaches a point where they can't make up a fast anymore, it was qada on them, and they were going to make it up, but they never got the chance to, and now they just can't because now they have another sickness or they have another reason for not being able to fast, then if that sickness or illness goes, then the qada comes back on their shoulders. If it never goes and this condition remains forever, then when you can't make it up, you can't make it up. I have not heard of, you know, another penalty instead of the qada fast that you can't make up. I highly, highly doubt that we have such a thing. So that's that question. Very good question. Wa alaikum assalam, asim balut, kifak. All right, what else do we have? Does tooting count? That I'll leave that to Brother Hadi to figure out himself. Does tooting, that city in South London, count as a community of Muslims? That's up to you. That's not my discretion. All right. Donating blood, the next question. Some people ask again and again. It's a good question. Donating blood, can I donate blood? Well, this falls under that same category that Sheikh Mahdi covered yesterday. Injections, the needle, you know, the fact that I'm drawing blood. Worst case, it'll be makruh, it won't be haram. In some cases it might be mustahab, you know, because you're helping out somebody who needs that blood, whatever. But at worst, it's going to be makruh. It doesn't invalidate the fast. It might be makruh, not generally speaking, if it weakens one. If it weakens you to give blood, then that's going to be a problem. But it's going to be a problem makruh, not invalidating. I hope that's clear. This is a question that's asked a lot last night, actually. I got a question like midnight. Someone messaged me. He's like, "Sheikh, I hope you're awake. Oh my God, please, I hope you're awake." So I just happened to be awake. And that was what his question was about, you know. Injections the next day. And he said, "We're going to be getting injections or something the next day." That's all good. No problem. Donating blood, no problem. Doesn't invalidate the fast. Wa alaykum as-salam, Sister Tahira. Now I have to say salam to everybody, right? If I missed your salam, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to try to respond to everyone, the ones that I can. As a matter of fact, let me say this in parentheses, that responding to a salam on WhatsApp or on Facebook or, you know, something that's not heard over the phone or in person by somebody, I think Ayatollah Khamenei has ihtiyat wajib. You still have to respond to that salam, but that's ihtiyat wajib. That means if another marja says you don't have to, it's okay. Ayatollah Sistani, last I checked, he says it's not wajib for anyone who says salam over WhatsApp, for example, to say wa alaykum as-salam, although of course we're going to be as friendly as possible and try to respond to as many salams as we can. Now watch everyone start trolling and like send salam, salam, salam. No, I'm not going to respond if you start trolling. Anyway, Sayyid Abbas Jafari, salam Shaykh, wa alaykum as-salam. I am asking this for a family member. If a pregnant woman in advanced stage of pregnancy is advised by her doctor to not fast, as it could be harmful to herself or her baby, does she still have to give out kafara fidya for missed fast? Is her case the same as a sick person restricted by doctor from fasting? It's the same in the sense that she doesn't have to fast anymore. And as a matter of fact, it might be haram to fast, depending on how severe that harm might be. As I said a couple days ago in that session that we had on the pregnant women and nursing mothers, will she have to take out fidya? Depends on which month of her pregnancy she is. You said in the advanced stage of pregnancy. Ayatollah Sistani determined this on his Q&A website. He determined that the 8th or 9th month, if a pregnant woman is not going to fast because of the harm or the fear for harm for herself or for her baby, she will have to take out fidya. But if it's a pregnant woman in her first month to the end of the 7th month, she doesn't have to take fidya out and she won't fast. She just has to make that day up. Yes, we covered that in our previous session. Inshallah, for more details, you can check it out. Sister Jasmine Rizvi, wa alaikum assalam, sister. It says, just a note here, you aren't allowed to donate blood in the UK if you're fasting, as it will cause weakness and may result in faint-headedness. True. I think this holds everywhere. They'll tell you to have your fruit juice or have some sugary content food with you when you are giving blood, so that, you know, your blood sugar doesn't drop, you don't go dizzy and faint. So brothers and sisters, as I said, in some cases donating blood might be mustahab, in some cases it might be makruh when you're fasting. If it's going to cause weakness, if it's going to cause you to faint, or if there's a chance that you're going to faint, then don't donate the blood until after iftar, you know. But if you just so happen to donate the blood and you didn't think it was going to get that bad, and you do get a severe, what's it called, weakness and faint-headedness, and you fear that you're going to faint or something, then you should break your fast and make that day up later. Yeah, you should break that fast, but only to the amount that's necessary, ihtiyat wajib, Ayatollah Sistani says, and make it up in the future, inshallah. Okay, Ruhi Rizvi, wa alaikum assalam. Some people travel on holidays in other parts of the country only for sake of avoiding the lengthy fast. Would you say fast is invalidated based on intention? Good question. We're going to get to that today, inshallah. All right, so let's move on to another question somebody asked. It's interesting, this question, and kind of funny, but I want to illustrate to you how it works, inshallah. So the brother asked me, and I told him I'll cover it today in the session too, because it's interesting. He said, I have braces, you know. Wa alaikum assalam, brother Ali A. I have braces, and I have to put rubber bands in it to fix my bite since last year. And when I put them in, they change color after hours of being in. And I feel like sometimes it makes my mouth dry. Of course, he adds that I'm paranoid that something melts from them into my mouth too. Will it affect my fast? And they also give me a stomach ache. So my first thing was, you might be a little paranoid about this, and that sometimes happens. I'm paranoid about certain things too. But nonetheless, a little rubber band, you know, those little rubber bands that hold your braces together or hold your jaw together or so on. If it takes a few hours and it changes color and you feel like something might have melted away, just having the feeling that this might be happening isn't enough, okay? As long as you're not swallowing the rubber band itself, of course, which is not, you know, what we're talking about right now. But let's just say that something was melting away from the rubber band a little bit, you know? Brothers and sisters, that will dissolve in the saliva anyway. It'll cease to exist, yeah, before it goes down. It's so, so minute. And as Sheikh Mehdi has been emphasizing again and again, that we don't get scientific when it comes to these things. Scientifically, there might be still a particle, like an atom or a molecule of that thing that melted away in our mouth. True. But the urf, you know, common perception doesn't see this as a substance, doesn't see this as a thing. So when it dissolves in the mouth, right? Same thing with when your gums bleed a little bit and it dissolves in your saliva and really like is just annihilated within your saliva. There is nothing there when you're swallowing it anymore. That's what it means, that it being dissolved. It's not there anymore. So even if such a thing happens, although I know, I'm pretty sure Sheikh Mehdi has covered this before, but I just wanted to reiterate and emphasize that no, this isn't a problem if it dissolves into your saliva. Okay. Oh wow, look at all these questions coming in. Brother Wajahat Ali, wa alaikum assalam. How are you doing? He says a woman misses a fast due to her pregnancy, but she paid fidya. Fidya wasn't obligatory because the Mizan Institute said so. Okay, whatever. But she paid fidya as she didn't make up before the next Ramadan. Okay, I need you to finish your question. Okay, wait, more is coming, he says. Okay, finish your question, inshallah, and then I'll answer it. Sister Tahira Halim, I was wondering if another fast is like a wajib fast. Does it need to be completed before the next Shahr Ramadan? Depends on what the intention was, what the nadr was like. If you did a nadr that you're going to do a fast like in 3 days, then you have to do it in 3 days. If you did a nadr that, you know, just I'm going to do a fast, you didn't specify before the next Ramadan, after the next Shahr Ramadan, you didn't specify, then that means you have all the time you want to do that and to fulfill that nadr. So that's not a problem either. All right. The only thing that's a problem, as I covered before, is for those who had a missed fast in a month of Ramadan and they don't make it up till the next month of Ramadan, they will have to give fidya. It's not wajib to make it up by the next Ramadan. We covered that with Ayatollah Sistani last session. But if they don't make it up till the next Ramadan, then they will have to pay fidya. Brother Asad Hussain, Salam Shaykh, when does involuntary vomiting break the fast? Inshallah, Shaykh Mehdi will cover that in the future. Invalidators of the fast. So tune in for that, inshallah. So Brother Wajahid is completing his question. I'm sorry, people, the questions are coming in. I just want to address them. So Brother Wajahid, he said that a woman didn't have to pay fidya, but because she was nursing, she paid fidya. She didn't fast the following year either due to nursing, but fidya was obligatory and paid. However, she wasn't able to make up those fasts either until this year. Does she have to pay fidya again for nursing year for not making up for the missed fast? Yes. Good question though. That is a good observation. Yes. I'm not going to get into the reason for that, but the reason, and inshallah, if you see me, Brother Wajahat, if it's the Wajahat Ali I know, then inshallah I'll explain it to you tonight at iftar in the center. Sister Isra Ali, you've asked a question about traveling. Inshallah, traveling itself is going to have a whole session, either by Sheikh Mehdi or me, probably Sheikh Mehdi. We will get into traveling a little bit today, inshallah, if I get the chance. But I'll be doing the general traveling. Inshallah, Sheikh Mehdi will be doing a lot of the details regarding traveling. All right. Having said all of that, let's move in to what we need to cover today. We had in the past, we had, you know, the conditions, we had, we entered the conditions of fasting. Without those conditions, the fast is not valid or is not even wajib, if you remember. And what we covered was, you know, those who are sick, those who feared that they're going to get sick, those who have hard jobs, those who have final exams and they have to get good grades or else it's going to affect their lives forever if they don't. Yeah, we covered all these things. And the rulings that were pertaining to them, to these scenarios. So now we want to move on into another, some more conditions of the fast being wajib, or the validity of the fast. Before I get into that, as I said, we covered all these different cases of, you know, hard jobs, fear of sickness, you know, kids, school kids, final exams, AP exams, all that kind of stuff. I covered all of that, and I left the discretion on, not me, Islam, left the discretion on the shoulders of the believers. Each person, it's them and their discretion to identify if this is the case where, you know, I can break my fast or cannot. Is this harm enough for me to break my fast or not? The general guidelines were provided. I just have to make a point here, and that is that we don't want to take advantage of these rulings. The rulings are there. We're covering them off the books. Let me show you my book again. I show it every day, right? So now, we don't want to take advantage either. You know, you hear things sometimes, people say like, oh, so it's not that hard. Yeah, true, it's not that hard, but it's not that easy either, right? But at the end of the day, it's you and your honest discretion between you and your Lord, brothers and sisters, right? That's one. At the same time, I have to say, we have another extreme as well. Sometimes, some people get become like too OCD about it. And they feel like, you know, no harm is enough for them to break their fast and unless they die or something. No, it's not like that either, brothers and sisters. You know, just be moderate. We have to try to be normal about this and see what, you know, people usually, how they see the thing, how they see the issue, and, you know, just go by that. It's not too complicated, inshallah. All right, next condition. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mas'ala 1027, Ayatollah Sistani, he says, يَسِحُ الصَّوْمْ مِنَ الْمُسَافِرِ الْجَاهِلِ. Alright, so we're getting into traveling now. As I said, the general rules for traveling. The details will come later, inshallah. Sheikh Mahdi will cover those, hopefully. You know, I'm putting the burden on him because it's a hard topic. And there's huge differences of opinion between different maraji when it comes to that. What we're doing right now is the general rules. 1027 says, if a person is traveling, of course they can't fast, but يَسِحُ الصَّوْمْ مِنَ الْمُسَافِرِ الْجَاهِلِ. Someone who traveled and didn't know that that traveling is going to cause a problem for them, for their fast, excuse me. Didn't know that the rule is you're not supposed to fast when you travel. And we'll, as I said, not every traveler can break their fast. There are details. Please stay tuned for all of that today and in the session when Sheikh Mahdi covers all of this in detail even more. He says, if they didn't know the ruling, and they were traveling, and they were fasting, their fast is correct, is valid. It doesn't matter, he says, سَوَاءٌ أَكَانَ جَهْلُهُ بِأَصْلِ الْحُكُمْ أَمْ بِالْخُصُوصِيَاتِ أَمْ بِالْمُوضُوءِ. It doesn't matter what ignorance they had. All in all, if they didn't know they're traveling, or they knew they're traveling, but they didn't know the ruling for a person who's traveling, all of these cases, he says, the fast is valid, which is interesting. Some of us might not know that. But if this person comes to know of the ruling and learn of the ruling while it's still the day and they're fasting, then their fast becomes batil. So for example, I'm traveling from, I don't know, Chicago to Detroit. I'm flying out and I'm fasting. On the way to Detroit, in the plane, while I'm listening to the Mizan live sessions, because I have internet even on the plane, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me a lot of tawfiq, so I'm listening to Mizan live, and on the plane, the Shaykh says, hey, did you know, FYI, you don't have to fast when you're traveling? As a matter of fact, it's not permissible to fast while you're traveling. It's bid'ah. The Shia school of thought does not believe in traveling while fasting, based on the ahadith of the Ma'sumin. And so you're on the plane, and you're like, oh my God, I just learned that I don't have to fast when I'm traveling, or I can't fast when I'm traveling. And it just so happens that the flight attendant right there and then is offering you a glass of apple juice with ice in it. That's what I usually get on these domestic flights. That's the only free thing they give you, right? So he's offering you this, and right there, the sheikh on Mizan Live says, hey, did you know you're not supposed to fast when you're traveling? Okay, when this person learns the ruling right there, that's when their fast becomes void. Right there, it becomes void. Right? And they can have whatever they want. But if they don't find out, this guy goes from Chicago to Detroit, lands in Detroit. Iftar time comes, then he finds out about the fast and how you can't fast while you're traveling. Then that fast is valid for him. Versus the guy that was on the plane and found out that fasting is not allowed when you're traveling. He can break his fast. He's not fasting anymore. But yes, he does have to make it up that day up in the future. Masala 1028 says, the next masala says, يصح الصوم من المسافر الذي حكمه التمام كناوي الإقامة والمسافر سفر معصية ونحوهما. This is the part that I was saying, that there's some conditions for traveling. Not every traveler can break their fast. He says that if you're traveling, sometimes still your fast is valid. When? He says when your prayer is full. Yeah, when your prayer is full. For example, who? Kanawi al-iqama. A person who is traveling, but now they've arrived to the place they're going to stay for 10 days. Right? If you know you're going to stay for 10 days somewhere, true, you're traveling. Your home isn't Hawaii. Right? You travel to Hawaii for some weird reason in the month of Ramadan. It's hot there. Well, I don't know. Right now, this time of year, I don't know if it's hot or not. If it's summer there, then it's hot. Like in Australia, it's winter right now, so it's cold there. But I don't know. Hawaii is probably hot right now too. Anyway, you see how easily I'm thrown off. Hawaii. This guy went to Hawaii. He's like, you're a traveler there, because that's not your home, Hawaii. But since you're going to be staying there for 10 days, your prayer is full. Since your prayer is full, you fast. It's wajib to fast. So he says, in some cases you're traveling, true. But since you have to pray full, then you're going to have to fast as well. Wa alaikum as-salam, Sister Sarah. Alright. Or another example he gives. Al-musafir safara ma'siyatin. A person who travels, but travels for sin. A sinful travel. Which, once again, the details of that have to be discussed elsewhere. That person, even if he or she is traveling for 1,000 miles, if that journey is a journey of sin, then they have to pray full and they have to fast. So Ayatollah Sistani is just making this disclaimer that, hey, just because you're traveling, it doesn't mean you always are off the hook and you don't fast. No, there are some cases that you're traveling, but you still have to fast as well. Now this is an important point here. Although, once again, it won't happen too much, but personally, I have seen people who have this question. He says, there is one case where you're praying full salat, okay? You're praying full salat, but you still don't fast. Where is that? He says, يَتَخَيَّرْ وَلَا يَصِحُّ مِمَّنْ يَتَخَيَّرْ بَيْنَ الْقَصْرِ وَالْتَمَامِ وَهُوَ الْمُسَافِرْ فِي الْأَمَاكِنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ. He says there are four places where you can choose between praying full or breaking your prayer in half. Although you're a traveler, technically and Islamically, but still you can pray full and you don't have to pray qasr. You don't have to pray in half. You know, pray your four rakat prayers in two rakat. Where are those places? Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, Kufa. Now here he says Kufa. We have to see, does he mean the Masjid of Kufa or all of the city of Kufa? And the Haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In these four places, as most of you probably know, when you're traveling for ziyarah, for hajj, for umrah, you can pray full or you can pray qasr, although you're traveling still, technically. Here Ayatollah Sistani makes this one point. He says, hey, I said that When you're praying full, you will have to fast. But there's one exception to this law, and that's when you're praying full due to this rule of these four places, of these four sacred places. True, you can pray full in them although you're traveling, but that doesn't mean you can fast. Yeah, we had some super spiritual people once that we were traveling with for ziyara in Karbala years ago. And it happened to be the month of Ramadan. That was one of the best months of Ramadan that I've ever experienced, because it was a time where the Haram of Imam Hussein was empty. And it was after Saddam Hussein and before like opening all the borders. And we got a chance to be there for the month of Ramadan. And you didn't have too many people there. It was kind of deserted. People were fasting. People weren't coming and going too much. So it was you and the grave of Imam Hussein, subhanAllah. But there were some people who were saying, no, we want to fast, it's Ramadan. But we were traveling at the end of the day. So the problem was that they wanted to fast and they were trying to figure out a way to fast. No, I'm sorry, you can pray full there, but you can't fast either. Alright, so hope that's clear. Alright. Mas'ala, I'm going to skip some mas'alas now because they don't have to do with traveling. And I'm going to go to Mas'ala 1038 now. So those were Mas'alas 1027 and 1028 that we covered. Now Mas'ala 1038 goes back to, once again, the traveling issues that we're covering. This is super important. It is so important now what I'm going to cover, and so many people have questions about it. It is so important that I made a flowchart for it. A super amateur, you know, you can even call it a ghetto flowchart. We'll cover it in a second. It talks about a person who's traveling, but is traveling after Dhuhr, before Dhuhr, or is arriving to their city, their watan, their home, before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr. What is the ruling there? Do they keep their fast or do they break their fast? This is something that a lot of people have questions on. Let us cover it in detail. There's an ant walking on this. Ant, please go. You don't have to learn ahkam. It's not wajib on you. All right, let's do this. Yes, Brother Hadi Rizvi has shared something in Farsi, for those who understand Farsi, regarding those four places that you can pray full or qasr in. So, inshallah, those who want to know what it's saying, first go learn Farsi and then read the hukum, okay? We don't have time to teach Farsi right now. All right, so let's look at this, brothers and sisters. So what do we have here? So we have travel, okay? A person who's traveling, I hope you can make out the writing. Yeah, I hope you can. Hopefully it's clear enough. All right, so now I'm saying, okay, a person who's traveling and is departing the city, their city, they're departing before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr. Let's cover that first, okay? If you are from your city, a place that you're fasting in, okay, you want to travel, and it's Ramadan time. You're fasting, of course, obviously. You woke up for suhoor, you had your suhoor, and it's 10 a.m. now. It's time to leave the city. Okay, Brother Ali, you're telling me I need to hold it facing the other way? Is that serious or is that just a joke? I don't know. Is it opposite? How does it work here? Do I have to hold a mirror now or something? Anyway, if you listen carefully, you'll see, you'll understand what I'm saying. Oh, now I get what you're saying. I'm seeing it on the live feed. Okay, yeah, it's mirrored. Okay, yeah. Mirror the camera. I'm not gonna touch the camera, guys. You're just lucky that it's live streaming right now. I'm not that tech savvy. Whatever. You guys can read. Come on. Come on, it's opposite. I know it's opposite, but still, you can read. All right, so once again, I'm going to show you. You can make out what's going on here. You see the ant walking on it, by the way? This ant really wants to learn his ahkam. Very good. I'm proud of my ants here. Now, if you are leaving before Dhuhr time, all right? Thank you, Minhal. Thank you. If you're leaving before Dhuhr time, I think we all have heard of these rulings before, but I'm going over them just for the ones who might not be sure about them. If you're leaving before Dhuhr time, your city, then you can't fast. You can't fast, meaning once you leave your city, you break the fast, one. And two, you're going to have to make that day up as well. Okay, brothers and sisters? So once again, I am leaving at 10 a.m. I am leaving the city of Houston. For what destination? Well, duh, for Hawaii. As I said before, this guy is going to Hawaii for some weird reason. All right, not funny. You're leaving Houston at 10 a.m. Once you leave Houston, you don't have to keep your fast anymore. We'll talk about where you can break your fast, though. Please, stay tuned for that. It'll come in in a few minutes. You can break your fast at a certain point. You won't be able to be fasting that day, and you will have to make that day up. This is if you leave the city, if you're leaving, and you're traveling before Dhuhr time. I think that's clear. What if you are leaving, you're traveling, and you're departing your city after Dhuhr, and it is the holy month of Ramadan? And it's the holy month of Ramadan. What you need to do here is, you have to keep your fast. It becomes wajib to keep your fast. You can't break it if you leave after Dhuhr time. So, for those people, I need you to pay close attention to this. For those people who might be flying from the east to the west, I want you to pay attention to this. And they have a choice and an option to fly before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr time. If you're flying from the east to the west, brothers and sisters, you have to pay attention to this matter, that when you fly east to west, the daytime is prolonged a lot of times, because you're moving with the sun. So as much as you fly, the sun is still on top of your head, or while you're flying, so it's like probably in front of you or wherever, but it's daytime. So all of a sudden, a day that was like 15 hours maybe will turn into 23 hours. Yeah? So you better be careful about that. So if you have an option to leave before Dhuhr and like buy a ticket that leaves before Dhuhr, and you have to travel in the month of Ramadan, try to get that ticket that leaves before Dhuhr so you can break your fast. Because if you travel after Dhuhr, oh my God, you're going to have like a 24-hour fast maybe. So you're going to have to keep that fast until iftar time actually arrives, wherever you land, wherever you are situated in the plane, over the globe somewhere. Or if it reaches a point where you can't bear it anymore, that's when you can break it, only to the amount that's going to keep you, you know, it's going to help you out, you know, to, you know, avoid that state of extreme hunger and dire situation. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. That's one of the good perks of this ruling, of knowing this ruling, is that you can travel beforehand. Sister Julia Najjar, can you specify the word city? She says, the word city, you know, the city. Where are the city limits, maybe? Nowadays, maybe that's what, you know, where the city ends. Maybe it's the last homes of that city, for example. Inshallah, that's a question to ask Sheikh Mahdi when he covers in detail these ahkam, the ahkam of fasting and traveling and stuff. But nowadays, I mean, it's not too hard to tell where the city ends. Anyway, lots of times you'll have a beltway around the city, and usually that'll be the city limit, you know. Anyway, but once again, that discretion is not on me. Depends on the city you're living in. I am very inclined to say that it's the last homes of that city, but once again, let's see. Inshallah, Sheikh Mehdi covers that. That's departing, brothers and sisters. If you're traveling and you are in the city that you are fasting in, and then you want to depart that city. What if, no, I am not in a city that I need to fast in. I'm traveling. I'm out of town. I am in a plane, wherever, and I'm out of the city, beyond the city. And it's the month of Ramadan. Okay, it's the month of Ramadan. I don't have to fast because I'm traveling, but I will be arriving at my city and my watan before iftar time. Is my fast valid or is it void? Can I fast? Can I not fast? And so on. There are a little bit more details regarding this question. So, let's go off of my backward flow chart here. Actually, let me fold this down now so that you can see me too. Do some quick origami here. All right. Now, this is what we're talking about now. You are arriving at your city. Either you are arriving before or after. If you're arriving before, you know, I could have put a whiteboard here and wrote this, all this stuff, but I don't like whiteboards. I like doing it like this, so just letting you know. If you arrive before Dhuhr time, maybe I should write that down. Before Dhuhr, after Dhuhr. If you are arriving to your watan before Dhuhr time, but you had an invalidator, I'm talking about this part now, you had an invalidator of the fast on the way. Okay, that's one scenario. You are arriving before Dhuhr, but you did not have without, as you can see, without invalidator. Okay? You arrived without an invalidator. You arrived before Dhuhr, and you didn't have an invalidator on the way. These are two scenarios we want to talk about. Number one, I arrive before Dhuhr time to the city that's my watan, for example, or to a place that I'm going to be staying in for 10 days, for example. I arrive before Dhuhr time. But to get there, I traveled 100 miles, right? I traveled 100 miles. What's for sure is, once I have left my city and have passed the certain limit that I'll talk about, that I can break my fast. What's for sure is, I can break my fast after that. Okay? So I live, my home is Houston, for example. I left Chicago, flying towards Houston. When I left Chicago, flying towards Houston, I could have had whatever I want on the way. So my flight was at, Fajr time was at 5 a.m., for example. My flight was at 10 a.m. From 5 to 10 a.m., I didn't have anything. My flight takes off from Chicago. I still don't have anything. I arrive in Houston at what time? At 1 o'clock. And Dhuhr time is 1:30. So I arrived in Houston before Dhuhr time, and I did not have anything that breaks the fast from Fajr time all the way till I landed in Houston. What is the ruling here? The ruling is that you fast. Yes, you have to fast. And we'll cover off the text as well. What if I arrive before Dhuhr again? I still arrived at 1 o'clock, but I had something that invalidates the fast when I was in Chicago. Between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m., I had some breakfast. Or when the plane lifted off at 10 a.m., at 11 a.m. when I was in the plane, I had a lunch. A halal lunch, of course. If I had an invalidator, and I arrived even before Dhuhr time, to my watan, to my city, to my home, which is, for example, Houston, that fast is invalid, and I don't have to fast that day. As a matter of fact, I don't have to stay away from food for the rest of the day either. Although it might be mustahab, we'll cover that as well. Question, is it necessary when I was in Chicago to stay away from any invalidators so that I can fast when I arrive? Because it's the month of Ramadan, for example. Answer, no, it's not wajib. When you're in Chicago, you're a traveler, so it's not wajib for you to fast. But if it so happens that you don't have any invalidators and you arrive in Houston before Dhuhr time, then yeah, you have to fast. I hope that's clear. If it's not clear, please ask. I think it's pretty clear. That is arriving before Dhuhr time. What if I arrive after Dhuhr time? If I arrive after Dhuhr time, as you can see here, there are no details like above. Right here, after Dhuhr time, whether you had an invalidator, whether you didn't, doesn't matter. Your fast is void. You can't fast that day. Okay? So, I love my flowchart. If you're departing your city before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr, let's use some different colored markers here. This is going to be fun. All right. This is what it's going to look like. If you depart your city before Dhuhr time, you can't fast that day. You depart after Dhuhr time, you fast that day. If you arrive at your city before Dhuhr time and you had invalidators on the way, or before you started traveling from Chicago, for example, in that example I gave you, you don't fast. If you traveled and you arrived without having any invalidators and you arrived before Dhuhr time, your fast is good and you have to fast. And if you arrive after Dhuhr time, you don't fast at all. Reza Kazemi, I got you. All right, let's read off of the text now. It says, 10:38. إذا سافر قبل الزوال وجب عليه الإفطار. If a person travels before Zawal, which is the Dhuhr time, it is wajib on them to break their fast. على الأحوة لزوما. احتياط واجب, he says. وإن كان السفر بعده وجب إتمام الصيام على الأحوة. Luzuman. And if you travel after Dhuhr time, ihtiyat wajib, you have to complete that fast. So these two are based on obligatory precaution. وَإِذَا كَانْ مُسَافِرًا وَلَمْ يَتَنَاوَلِ الْمُفْطِرِ حَتَّى دَخَلَ بَلَدَهُ أَوْ بَلَدَ النَّوَى فِيهِ الْإِقَامَةِ. And he says, if you are traveling until you enter the city, or your home, or the city that you're going to be staying in for 10 days, وَلَمْ يَتَنَاوَلَ الْمُفْطِرِ, and you had not had something that invalidates your fast, if فَإِنْ كَانَ دُخُولُهُ قَبْلَ الزَّوَالِ, if you have arrived before Dhuhr time, he says, صَامَ يَوْمُهُ عَلَى الْأَحْوَةِ وُجُوبًا, إِحْتِيَاطْ wajib, you have to keep that fast. وَيُجْتَزَأُ بِهِ, and that's enough, you don't have to make that day up later either. وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعْدَهُ, but if you arrive after Dhuhr time, then it's not wajib to fast that day. And even if you do fast, it won't count, and you'll have to make it up later. And if while he was traveling to reach his city, he had one of those invalidators, then that fast is also void, he can't fast that day. استحب له الامساك الى الغروب, but it will be mustahab for them to keep not eating anything until غروب time, until sunset here. غروب here probably means sunset, I guess. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. The same chart that I made, the flow chart, that's what the text is saying. Assalamu alaikum, Bint Naqwi. What about your intentions? What if you never made the intention to fast in Chicago, but didn't have any invalidators? Do you make the intention once you reach your hometown if you reach before Dhuhr? Excellent question. I can't believe I missed that. It slipped my mind. I think I was going to say it. It doesn't depend on intentions, brothers and sisters. It doesn't depend on intentions. When you're traveling, if you're in Chicago and now you're coming, let's say, you know, I wasn't planning on fasting when I get back, but I mean, I didn't have any invalidators. If you arrive to your watan, to your city, before Dhuhr time, and you didn't have invalidators, based on the this general ruling that I just read, this question falls under, the answer is no. You have to keep the fast. It doesn't make a difference what intention you have. Ayatollah Sistani, in this Mas'alah 10:38, he didn't say you have to have the intention or not have the intention. Okay, he didn't say that. He just says if this happens. So I guess intention doesn't make a difference here. Taqwa Bayti, my daughter just turned 9. What should I expect from her? Well, we covered this in our previous sessions. Inshallah, you can check that out. We covered, you know, young girls that turn 9, how much to expect of them when it comes to the fast. Inshallah, you can look at that, inshallah, and get your answer. It's a long story. We covered it then. Okay. Previous sessions, inshallah. Mas'ala 10:39 is also of the utmost importance. It says, "المناطُ في الشروع في السفر قبل الزوال وبعده هو البلد، وكذا في الرجوع منه هو البلد لا حد الترخص." I got a question the other day, which is exactly this, and it's unfortunate that some people give wrong answers sometimes. Ahkam is very sensitive, and we need to know before we speak, really. I am no exception either. We can't just give a ruling because then you're causing others to make mistakes. If I can just pull it up. It was like 2 days ago, but it's like 500 messages down. I don't know, I can't find it now. Oh, there it is. Anyway, the question was that we're being told here in their region, wherever they are, we're being told that you can break, if you're traveling, once you leave your city, you can break your fast. You can break your fast. Is that the case or not? Here it is. Says, Salam Shaykhna, sorry to bother. A scholar has just told people here that they can open their fasts as soon as they leave their city, regardless of whether their journey will be 8 farsakhs or not. Okay, so this is a little different. This is even worse, actually. This is even worse. What can I say? Anyway, let's talk about this ruling a little bit. Mas'ala 1039 says that when you are traveling, true, you can't fast anymore, but when are you actually allowed to break your fast? That's the question. When are you actually allowed to break your fast? If I'm traveling, and I know I'll be traveling at 10 a.m., for example, and it's the month of Ramadan, and it's like 7 a.m. right now, and I pass by IHOP, man. I pass by IHOP. For the people in Toronto, the people in London, I know you don't have it, but I know you know what it is too. Although I'm not a big fan, but anyway, for some reason people really love IHOP. Alright, so let's just give the example of IHOP. You're passing by IHOP, you're like, man, I'm going to be traveling at 10 a.m. Right now it's 7 a.m. So a traveler doesn't have to fast. Let's break our fast right now. Is that the case or not? No, no, you're not allowed to break your fast, even if you know you'll be traveling 3 hours from now. You have to wait till you leave the city. 1, 2, you reach the point of tarakhus. The limit of tarakhus, it's called. Where is that? Usually they say, usually, is where you can't see the last homes of the city. So it's not just leaving the city, you have to travel that much. So if your airport is in your city, if you're in the airport, you can't break your fast when you're in the airport, for example, waiting for your flight to take off. You will be able to break your fast once the plane lifts off and like 10 minutes into the journey, it's gotten far enough where you can't see the city anymore, maybe. Something like that. Usually, if you wait 10-15 minutes, the plane is far enough, in my opinion at least, to be able to break your fast. That's when you can break your fast. Or if you're on the highway and you're traveling and you leave the city on that highway, you have to go far enough where you can't see the city, the boundaries of the boundary of the city or the last houses of the city. Once again, there's details to this. Other sessions will cover, inshallah. So Ayatul Sistani, he says, keep in mind two things. One, when can you break your fast? When you reach the limit of tarakhus. Not just when you leave this, not when you're leaving, not when you're in the airport, not when you've passed the city limits, but you can still see the city, for example. He says one, that's one. Number two, he makes another point as well, which is super important, okay? But before I get to that point, let me take this question because it might be relevant to the first point that we just covered. Sister Tahira Halim, she says, if I'm leaving from my city and I am on the road for 3 days and I'm staying at my destination for 8 days, do I fast or not? Another question. Okay, so let's cover that question first. Although we're running out of time. If you're leaving from your city and you're on the road for 3 days and you're staying at your destination for 8 days, that's not enough, sister, to be able to fast. So those 3 days that you're driving, for sure you don't fast. Unless you leave your city after Dhuhr time in the month of Ramadan. That day you will fast. But the other 2 days that you're on the road, you don't fast. And if you're at your destination for 8 days, you can't fast because you have to be there for 10 days at least to be able to fast. Another question, what if I'm traveling but I'm not sure if I'll be staying for more than 10 days? Very good question. You have to be sure you'll be staying for 10 days. So once again, if you arrive at your destination and the 3 days pass, you're like, I still don't know, will it be 10 days or not? You're not sure. You can't fast until you're sure from the point that you become sure that you're going to be there for 10 days. So for example, if I arrive at the destination and I don't know how long I'm going to be staying for the first 5 days, every day I'm like, I don't know how long I'm going to be staying. But from day 5, I know that from day 5, I'll be staying till day 15. 10 days I'll be staying, those 10 days you'll be able to fast. If day 5 I come to the conclusion that I'll be staying till day 10, that's 5 days only. Although you've been there for 10 days, but you had the intention from 5 days from here on, it won't count either. You can't fast. I hope that's clear. Once again, Sheikh Mahdi might get into more details on this. This itself is a whole topic to discuss. Brother Mahdi Basri, salam. Wa alaikum as-salam. Question about this scenario. If I'm going from home to city A, and I plan on staying for 30 days, then on day 7 or 8, I decide to leave city A to go to a third city for a few days and return to city A to complete the 30 days. Should I fast for the 7 days? Yes, good question. So, this is also something that we don't need to cover here, but I'll just say it very quickly. If, brothers and sisters, you reach a destination that you have the intention to stay in for 10 days, and you pray one full prayer in that destination, and then after that full prayer that you prayed, boom, you're like, oh no, wait a minute, I'm going to have to be traveling after the fourth day. In this case, you have to continue praying full, they say, and continue fasting as well if it's the month of Ramadan as well. So keep that in mind. That's according to Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Khamenei. I highly doubt that it would be any different for Ayatollah Sistani as well, but I haven't read it on his book, so I'm just letting you know that. And then once you come back for the rest of the 30 days, Brother Mahdi, you're going to be there for 10 days, yeah, so you're going to continue your fast there once you get back as well from that little city that you went to, and then you return to city A. Alright, let's try to finish this, brothers and sisters. So that was the first point that Ayatollah Sistani makes, is that, hey, even if you're traveling, make sure that you break your fast after you reach the tarakhus limit. God bless you too, Mahdi. After you reach the tarakhus limit, okay? Make sure that's the case. Don't do it before. That's the first point he makes. There's another important point here too. When you tell us, this whole flowchart, arriving, departing where exactly? The city? Tarakhus limit? Which one is it? Which one is it? He says, for what counts for arriving at your city or leaving your city, departing and all that stuff in that flowchart that I said, for that, he says, the city itself is the criteria. Okay? So if I, let me give you an example. So if I am leaving my city before Dhuhr time, I can't fast that day. But I will not be able to break my fast until where? Until I pass the tarakhus limit. You see the difference between these two? These two are different. What counts is when you're leaving the city. What counts for arriving before Dhuhr, after Dhuhr, departing Dhuhr, after Dhuhr, is your city. So let's just say, brothers and sisters, let me give you another example which highlights it even better. If I leave my city after Dhuhr time, or let's say before Dhuhr time, I leave my city, but then I set up a tent outside of my city until after Dhuhr, and then I leave the tarakhus limit. Still, because I left my city before Dhuhr time, I can't fast that day. Although I'm outside of the city now, but I can still see my city. I won't be able to break it till I pass the tarakhus limit. I hope that's clear. I think it is clear. So that is what counts when it comes to departing and arriving, right? If you are, for example, coming back to your city on a road trip, you're driving back to your city and you reach the tarakhus limit, right? You reach it before Dhuhr time. But before you can make it from the tarakhus limit to the actual city, Dhuhr time sets in. Your fast is void for that day. You can't fast that day if you didn't have invalidators before, of course. If you didn't get these examples, inshallah, you can rewatch this part of it so that you can, inshallah, you'll understand it if it's a little complicated. Mas'ala 1040 is the last mas'ala. I know I've gone over my time a little bit, but just allow me to go over this last ruling as well, and then we'll end. Although there is one question here. Brother Hamid Shirazi, keep your question, inshallah, for Sheikh Mahdi. That's a question that we've discussed that he's going to, inshallah, cover, probably. So save that for him. Last mas'ala, mas'ala 1040 says, يَجُوزُ السَّفَرْ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ اِخْتِيَارًا. In the beginning of our session, or towards the middle of it, I don't remember, One of the viewers asked this question. We're going to cover it now. يَجُوزُ السَّفَرْ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ اخْتِيَارًا. You can voluntarily travel in the month of Ramadan. You can voluntarily travel, even if there's no reason for it. You just want to travel. You want to travel because, I think this is what the question was, because the days are long, or because you don't know, it's tomorrow's the 30th of the month of Ramadan, or it's the first of Eid, and you want to make sure that you break your fast. You want to travel. He says you can travel. For no justified reason, you can travel. It's not haram. You won't have to pay kafara. You will just have to make that day up, brothers and sisters. That's all. وَلَوْ لِلْفِرَارِ مِنَ الصَّوْمِ. Even if you just want to get away from the fast, that's the only reason for it. If you remember, Ayatollah Sistani even made this suggestion for those who have children who it's hard, for them it's hard to fast, to take them out on that 16-mile trip or whatever the mileage is for it, bring them back, and they don't have to fast that day. Yeah? Even if it's to evade the fast. وَلَكِنَّهُ مَكْرُوهُ. Yeah, it's makruh though. It's makruh to do that. But it's not haram. You can make that day up later. Yeah, and then he makes some exceptions to all of this, where it's not even makruh. If it's for Hajj or Umrah, for example, it's not makruh. And other reasons, for example, you have some money that you're going to lose, and you have to travel to secure that wealth or asset, to go, by all means, go for it, and so on. Things like that. But even if it's for no reason and you just want to get away from the fast, still, it's perfectly fine. It'll be makruh in worst case. Okay, thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for tuning in. Inshallah, we're done. Alhamdulillah, we're done with the general rules for traveling. Inshallah, probably next session we're going to get into some of the rulings regarding maybe, we'll get into the rulings of going unconscious in the month of Ramadan, and for sisters, hayd and nifas a little bit, and for those who become junub a little bit as well. We need to talk about that. Before I end, let me take this question. Sister Sayyida Fatima Ali Kazmi, if I'm visiting a city, stayed there for 5 days and confirmed that point of time after 5 days to stay another 7 days, at that point I need not to do qasr namaz. I start doing full namaz. Do I fast for the next 7 days? Once again, I have to repeat this to make sure, brothers and sisters, if I arrive at a destination and I'm not sure that I'm going to be staying, so in this question, Sister Fatima Kazmi, you're saying, I'm visiting a city, stayed there for 5 days, and confirm at that point of time, at the fifth day, that I'll be staying another 7 days. I understand 7 plus 5 will be 12, and it's more than 10. But where you're supposed to take the point in time that you know that you have an intention to stay. So that'll be day 5. Day 5 to day 12 is 7 days. So you only have an intention to stay for 7 days, not more than that. So you will not be able to fast. And your salat will remain qasr. Okay? That is an important point. These have to do with the rulings of travelers and traveling. And it goes beyond even fasting. It's just the prayers of the traveling person. There are a lot of details there. But this is something I'm telling you now. That you are supposed to take the day that you have the intention to stay, where now you become sure that, okay, I'm going to stay. That's where you start counting, actually. How many days do I have an intention to stay? Is it 7 days? The 7 days. I don't care if we stayed for 8 days before that. It doesn't matter. Yes, if a person stays in a location, not knowing if they're going to be there 10 days or not, then that 10 days or not, not knowing, not being sure, and that adds up to 30 days, there's a ruling there as well that from there on, they will have to pray full anyway. So that is something out there. But that's for 30 days onwards. I'm pretty sure Ayatollah Sistani has this fatwa. This fatwa that I'm giving you right now is with Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Khamenei. I'm almost 100% sure that Ayatollah Sistani has the same fatwa as well. Once again, thank you everybody for tuning in. If you feel that, I've said this again and again, if you feel that it's beneficial to others, these are questions that a lot of people have. If you feel that it's beneficial, spread the word so that they can benefit as well, inshallah, or share the page, or all the other things that you can do on Facebook, whatever they are. Thank you very much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.